Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back. It is the AfterBuzz TV Riverdale After Show. What's going on in Swedlow Swamp? Cheryl is a terrific artist, it turns out. And what will we find at the end of the secret gay hookup tunnel? Everybody's wondering that and more tonight on the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Riverdale. We'll see you guys in just one quick second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, I'm back in the moment. This is such a good moment.
Yes, Ben really wanted the moment where they kissed.
I thought it was a great moment. I don't know. I was standing in a room alone pumping my fist at this moment in the episode.
Wow. I had my lighter out.
Yeah, right? There you go. Yeah. All right. I killed the dancing. I killed the vibe. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back to the Riverdale After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We're here. This is, I mean, it's a good song, but it's kind of a downer moment to start the episode on. My energy's high.
Right.
Are you guys?
Wow. Right. I'm trying to keep down with the music, but I'm trying to also be with you too.
Yeah,
so
right.
I don't know
yeah.
what to do.
We'll
I'm
meet
like,
you
hey.
Halfway, okay?
Okay, good. Okay, good. Yeah, guys, we're back. We're here. We're talking Riverdale. We're 17 episodes into season 2. This is a big deal. We're getting there. Paley Fest featured Riverdale this last weekend, so we got a little bit some tidbits of information. We're going to get there later in the episode. We've got a lot to talk about. It seems like Shoney's out in the open to some degree, so we absolutely need to talk about that. There's some different mayoral races going on now. Archie seems to go full-on gangster in this episode. I mean, he is like, he's all in on it at this point. And what's going on with Alice and FP, all that, and more coming up this episode. So what I want to know from you guys, my lovely team here, let's introduce you guys first. I think that's a good place to start. Frank, Moran, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Yeah, no problem. And Shauna, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, y'all? What's up, everybody out there? And Ben?
Yeah. And Sam, welcome back. How you feeling?
I'm great. I'm amped as well. I really liked this episode.
I was
very excited. Except, you know, hate Archie, but what else is new?
What was your general reaction to the episode? Like, scale of 1 to 10?
I would give this one a good, like, 7.75.
Okay.
Specifically.
Hi. So it's a good rating.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I think it's maybe like top 5 or 6 of the season. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. And Frank, you told me there was a big cliffhanger that you were dissatisfied with.
That was such a clunky.
You didn't like the ending there?
Oh, it was so clunky.
Tell me why. What do you think? What was
just
that?
The way that Cheryl says it and then just turns the camera and delivers this line like, what?
The city's going to burn.
The school's going to burn. Yeah, I'm like, huh? Okay. What did the school do to you, Cheryl?
All right. So Frank didn't buy in. What about you? What do you think?
I liked it. Yeah. You guys know I love a firecracker. I love attitude. I love a good red lip. And she gave me everything I asked for. I think the school's going to burn is just like the rage that's coming up out of her. And she's like, oh, you're about to see dark Cheryl. And I think everyone has like a, you know, a dark side. And I think we'll see a little bit of dark Cheryl.
Don't you think dark Cheryl's just kind of been Cheryl, like overall?
Yeah. But she's so like good at being nice, nasty that it's not really dark.
Yeah, right.
You could tell the huge contrast between everybody else when they get dark.
Yeah, right.
But Cheryl, you know,
she's just crazy.
She's a special girl.
I feel like she turns crazy real easy.
I feel like a line like that, if it had been built up that, you know, she was being kind of you know, ostracized at school to some extent, it would pay off a little bit more. It's just like an homage to the film. Doesn't really land as a line. It doesn't really line up to where Cheryl's at for her in terms of where she's at school to really kind of make that line land.
And you mean an homage to Carrie?
Correct. Yeah. Well, forgive me. It's been a minute since I've seen Carrie. And does she burn down this? Is that?
No.
I get it. I think she was just really 110% going for the part and committing.
Carrie's a pretty old movie at this point. I think that's over 40 years old, right?
No.
Or unless you're talking about the remake.
I mean, remake after remake.
I think the original Carrie is like De Palma. It's like 74, maybe?
Good old Sissy Spacek, man.
Yeah, I think that movie's like 19, like early to mid-70s. I think it's a pretty old reference. It's one thing that I always find amazing about these shows, and I've said this before, but it's like, it never fails to amaze me that a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old, like, in high school today seems to have every perfect pop culture reference.
Oh, yeah.
And they're always inevitably from, like, the 70s and 80s.
That is why I have the theory that I know is wrong. You know, I know deep down this is not what's going to happen, but it's that we're not in this time, that we're kind of, like, somewhere else. Because there are just random references to things, and there was a scene last week where Jughead was talking to Veronica's old doorman, and I'm like, this just doesn't seem like 2018 to me. Right. So, I don't know. I just like to think about that sometimes as they make those random references.
I think it's a great idea, and I think it's totally possible. I think it's highly likely that it's a bunch of writers in their 40s and 50s,
right.
And the pop culture they find amazing is just what they inject. I mean, it was the same with the OC. Like, I remember that distinctly. Like,
yeah.
They just always had the perfect pop culture reference. Ryan was a big Journey fan. It's like, come on, you're 16.
Yeah.
This was long before the days of Glee. Nobody, no 16-year-old I knew was listening to Journey except for me, which was actually what I was doing.
It was based on your life.
Yeah, right. Well, I had, my hair was like this long in high school. You guys know that I wanted to be an 80s hair metal singer, Gum? Did you know this?
I knew you wanted to be a singer.
I personally didn't know, but I'm here for it. I think you should go ahead and get started on the growth again.
I have some pretty sweet throwback pictures I could show you. Full on.
Bring them in for all of us. How do you guys feel? You guys want to see these photos?
Because
I think we should share them all.
If you dig on Instagram, Ben Bateman Media, you guys can find some real embarrassing. I mean, I'm not embarrassed. You might be embarrassed for me.
Right. They're embarrassing no embarrassed to your eyes.
None. All right, so let's jump into the episode here and talk about, I think, probably the lead storyline has to be Shoni, and so I want to kind of build up to that. So first of all, Cheryl, she is not in Switzerland. She's with the Sisters of Quiet Mercy. Here's one thing I don't get. How is it that you have a town as small as Riverdale, and the Sisters of Quiet Mercy have come up twice now, yet, like, somebody's like, there was a place called the Sisters of Quiet Mercy that existed at one time.
Right.
One of our best friend's sisters was held captive there while she had secret babies recently, and none of us have talked about it.
Well, like, and I remember, though, when that whole thing happened in the first season with Polly, it seemed like they were taking a bit of a road trip.
I think it's a little ways away, like a couple hours maybe, right?
And didn't they say something like, oh, yeah, the sisters used to, like, now listen.
Was it a distillery?
Was it, yeah.
Yeah, there was a distillery.
Do alcohol, like, come on, sisters? And then you're chasing somebody down when you know you're doing alcohol. You guys are both sinning.
Yeah, there's...
You know you're doing alcohol.
There were nuns, and as Kevin says, as I said in my intro, there was a secret gay hookup tunnel.
To access the
prison. It's not a prison, it's a...
I wrote it down. I love it. Veronica's line. Can you lead us to this secret gay hookup tunnel?
Yeah, but the beauty of that is they go through the secret gay hookup tunnel, and then Veronica witnesses a secret gay hookup. Right?
That's right.
What happens.
But it doesn't happen in the tunnel.
It's a little too small.
I needed it to happen when it happened, so we're good.
Yeah.
You don't want Veronica to say, save it for the tunnel, guys.
Exactly. She came in a little too late.
And Veronica, like, didn't really react, right? She sees them kissing, and she's just like, whatever.
She's a boss, okay? She's in a mob family. She's seen all this type of thing happen. She's like, look, the nuns are coming, okay? We got to go.
I'm not saying she should react, but she didn't even have like a, I'm taking it back because I didn't know you know what I mean?
Right.
I just didn't. I mean, if it was Archie and Betty kissing, I feel like she would have reacted.
She reacted by kissing Jughead.
Well, I guess Archie's her boyfriend. That's not.
Yeah, that would be her boyfriend. So I think she'd maybe stop, be like, "Oh, what the hell's going on?"
Okay, if it was Reggie and Josie kissing, I feel like she would have reacted.
Yeah, maybe, but you know, ride or die. Just got to get through that tunnel.
Yeah, right. I would just think that the way that that she saw the drawings that Cheryl's mom had of her and Josie,
she was pretty.
And then knowing how much Tony was advocating, we got to find her. I think.
Yeah.
You can make that reasonable jump that, like, okay, maybe the two of them are somewhat attracted to
each
other.
That's fair.
Shout out to the sexy outfits. I loved their spy wear.
Yeah. Veronica got a really good, really good cat suit.
Yeah.
Sweetheart. Cat suit and high heels to do an escape mission?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say anybody ever talked to me about escaping anywhere.
Yeah.
But when they did, they let me know you do not wear high heels because they make noise, and you do not wear... Well, they did tell me I could wear a cat suit so I can slide through a little.
Yeah. Are you telling me that if you were going to break out one of your friends and you wouldn't try to look fly like that?
No, sir.
No, you wouldn't?
No, I think I would dress up like the janitor and then just walk right through the front door. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you. Just my personal opinion. I like what Veronica had going on.
Ben was literally dressed to the nines and be like, James Bond over here. Just, popping through
exactly.
The corners.
You make a good impression. So, all right. So they have to go see Cheryl's mother first, though. And that's when they find out about these pictures. And Cheryl's mom uses the term deviant again. And this episode starts out with Cheryl watching this video at the asylum. What is it? Was it a school? A rehabilitation center?
Yeah. Conversion therapy center.
Conversion therapy center. That's what she is.
Jimmy Pink on the chat has let us know all about gay conversion camps that they have. So yeah, that's
shout out to him. He does know his stuff, Jimmy.
So this is a real thing.
This is a real thing. And I actually, it's funny because I typed it in just to kind of check on it, and literally, it says near me, gay conversion camps near me.
Oh my god!
And when I type it in, when I push the button, there's some things come up. So thanks for letting us know about that. This is a real thing, and they really portray it well in the show. I think they make it. It's like scary thing, you know.
Sounds terrifying.
Well, even the movies they had were just a nice little nod to those.
I thought it was funny, right? That they have Kevin and Moose. Yeah. As the characters in the instructional film to start the episode. It was kind of surreal. You wonder, is like Cheryl imagining it's them? I mean, it can't really be
them. Or is this like the Truman Show? I mean, that, I don't know. You know, that kind of thought crossed my mind.
It was interesting with the subtitles, though, because for the narrator, would refer to him as a criminologist.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, that's weird. Why is a criminologist narrating? There's not a crime. Well, there is a crime.
And then they're
going
skinny dipping. So they're criminal.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of crimes in their defense, but I guess this isn't one.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, so Cheryl's there. She's doing her thing. They show up to talk to her mom and find out that Cheryl's a deviant, according to her mother, and she's been drawing pictures. Terrific artist.
Yes. Right? I was like, right. Nicely done, Cheryl.
Yeah, I didn't realize. And Josie was not having it. She was freaked out.
She was, but there's some reason behind that. She says that she's the one who sent me that pig head.
Which I think we can all agree that's not what happened, right?
I'm trying to remember because it was the Black Hood that was upset, or was it the Black Hood that was obsessed with Josie at the beginning of the season? And there was that, I think it might have been a Halloween episode, and they're like playing spooky music and she's running around. I don't think it was Cheryl.
Yeah, I think Cheryl would do something like
that. And I don't see how she came to that conclusion either.
No, I think at the time there was a real question of who sent it. And that episode, there was some weirdness with Cheryl being kind of obsessed with Josie, and there was definitely some tension there. I don't remember the episode super specifically. I haven't watched it 3 or 4 times, like a certain someone we probably
and I can't even remember.
Right. It was not a 7.75 episode,
no,
I should say that.
No. But I do think there was some suspicion that we never sorted out who sent the pig. Pig heart? Pig heart.
Oh, right.
Pig heart. Yes.
Pig heart.
Yeah. Some part of a pig.
So we go on an adventure. We get through the tunnel. We find Cheryl, and we have this triumphant kiss. And it was a damn good kiss. I gotta say, the music that we heard that we opened the show on, I really liked the song. I just was cheering for it. I was like, yeah, Tony, you're saving Cheryl. This is great.
Yes.
I'm such a fan of you guys. I don't know. I got really on board.
I feel like I'm two minds of this. One, I mean, it's nice to get to that Shoney moment. Yep. Sure. But then the other part of me is like,
you sound so enthused.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Sure. It's great. This Shoney moment. I love it. It's so cool. But the other part, I felt like the whole thing with Cheryl there stuck was just so quickly resolved.
Sure.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, she just got put in. We got her out this episode, and very easily.
Like you're a minor, and you were committed by your parents.
Yep.
Because you're under 18. So that's how they were able to. So you get home. And she's just going to take you back again.
Yeah.
Because you can't legally leave. So, congratulations.
Right, that was great.
Okay.
Sure.
I am glad, though, that they did break her out. And I am glad that they had that moment in front of the class. Because I think that what that was them taking a stand for their sexuality to show all the other people in the class. Like, this is okay. Like, this is love. It's real. And I think I was a little bit starstruck, like love struck, because I even thought their heads looked like their heart.
They did.
When they were kissing.
Yeah.
100% purpose.
Definitely.
Did you want to see the rest of the girls in that room just stand up and like slow clap?
Yes.
I would have clapped.
I would have.
You guys, they were on so many drugs. They were like drooling probably. Yeah. The entire thing's happening. Yeah. Okay. So in the chat, Golden City 94 says Cheryl's love was crazy for Josie. I'm assuming she doesn't mean in a good way. And Tony will be next.
Ooh.
So is Tony her next victim? I don't think so. But it is an interesting thing because they did introduce that storyline with her and Josie and then just dropped it. And now they're picking it back up. And I think we're all a little confused.
But I don't think it was ever, I never saw really anything from Josie kind of having that same interest in Cheryl. Mm-hmm. With this, I feel it's different that Tony does have an interest in Cheryl, so I feel like it's different.
Yeah, true. It's not one-sided.
Tony's a serpent, so she's like, she can hold her own. Cheryl's a bad girl, like, she's scary, but I think Tony's like, you're a baby.
Cheryl's like, but the interesting thing is, like, I feel like Cheryl has no interest or even willingness to go anywhere near the serpents. So if that's a thing, that's going to be a real point of contention. Because, like, Cheryl ain't going to, she's not going to, Right. You know, right?
She's not going to do the dance, serpents. Right?
No way.
And then the serpents are not about. It's like not about to introduce her in just into the fold. You know?
Yeah, I mean, she's no Betty Cooper. So, guys, I have a question for you. Do you want to have fun, learn, grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, we have got a podcast for you. It's a very specific and very special podcast. It's called Conversations with Maria Menounos. The podcast edition is hosted by the AfterBuzz TV founder, our boss, the boss, Maria, the best in the business, drops every single Friday on iTunes. If you guys have any interest in learning about health, wellness, career relationships, finances, she talks to awesome, awesome influencers, all kinds of awesome people in the industry, celebrities. Let her be the big sister you've always wanted. Go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. It is definitely a good decision on your part. Be sure to leave a comment, rate, like, subscribe. Let her know that we sent you, that the Riverdale team sent you. AfterBuzz TV is recommending you check it out. Conversation with Maria Menounos podcast edition is definitely something you should check out. And as I've said before, we all love Maria. We've all learned a huge amount from her. And she has great lessons to impart on all of you about, you know, health, wellness, lifestyle, relationships, finance. It's a good decision. I recommend it.
Yeah, I love it. I download it before I get in my car, and then I listen to it over Bluetooth when I drive all over LA. So you guys should do the same.
Absolutely.
It's really
She's
fun
my
and easy.
Walking meditation partner.
Yeah. Yeah, Maria's the best. So let's continue through the episode. We have this crazy stuff going on right now with Archie and Hiram and this, like... Okay, that scene was crazy, right? So Lenny and Carl come to town, which I think... Is it just me, or is that an obvious Simpsons reference? I mean, it felt like it was. No? Lenny and Carl?
I felt like it was.
If you have two characters named Lenny... Steven, are you on the chat?
I have it here.
I'm here. I mean, not in the chat, but I'm here.
Did you ever watch The Simpsons?
Yeah, as soon as you said Lenny and Carl, I was like, oh, are there cops that came to town?
I feel like Lenny and Carl, if you say that to anyone, that's like too obvious to not be a Simpsons reference. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe if one of them was African-American, maybe.
It's just character names. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I feel like if they had more of a semblance to them, I think it would be a little bit more stronger.
Was one of them yellow?
No, they were just two like kind of stereotypical mafia dudes.
Right, and I also think Lenny and Carl are a stereotypical mafia name.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably true.
Like Tony, right? And Tommy.
Yeah, yeah, right. Sure, sure. So anyway, Lenny and Carl come to town, and they say that
Hiram... from your old mom days. What? I understand.
Yeah. Right, right. And they're basically like, cut us in on your deal. That's what we need. You're on your own here. And Archie, who's like Mad Dog Andrews, standing in the back watching, steps up and gets in their business. This was a sweet moment. I was like, wow. Like, Archie's got some balls. He's really going for it right now. I mean, he keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper into this whole like mob family thing. We've talked about this now before, but there is virtually no plausible way that Archie gets out of this life. It's impossible. Archie Andrews from the comics cannot exist in this world.
Right.
There's no way.
But I feel like what Hiram said to him is a total reflection and personifies everything we've known about Archie in this series so far, where he says, Archie, what you did tonight at the very end of the episode is a short-term solution for a long-term problem. And that's how Archie is. He is so short-sighted in everything that he does.
Impulsive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They really do feel like they didn't have that strong of a sense of who these characters were going to be when the show started, because it does feel like now that we're, what was it, 13 episodes in season one?
Yes.
Is that right? So it does feel like now that we're, I think this was up, we're around 30 episodes into the show. I can't remember exactly how many
13.
In season one.
Well, it says chapter 30, so I'm assuming 30
okay,
episodes
Okay, this is the 30th episode. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
Steven, I had season 2, episode 17 written down. But now that we're 30 episodes into the show, I feel like we're starting to really get a sense of who these characters are supposed to be in the context of the long-term show. Because the first 6 episodes, it was a lot simpler. It was like, is Archie going to be with Betty? It's Archie going to be with Veronica.
Yeah.
He plays music. He can't decide if he wants to play music or football. His dad's a good dude. He and Jughead have problems. Like,
very
you know,
wholesome.
It was way more like the comic book.
Yeah.
Now we're in like a, I think we're just in a different show. I mean, do you guys feel like the characters that you're watching right now resemble who you were watching when the show started?
Some of them. I think Veronica does. Has stayed the most true to form. But other than that, no.
Yeah.
Maybe Jughead.
What do you guys think?
Midge. I feel like Midge is still good.
She's pretty strong.
She's still sticking to where she was at before. No, I'd agree. That, like, this Archie just seems... I agree with you. They've written him in such
reckless,
a hole.
I would say. Yeah,
like, how does he get out and just come back to being like, hey, I'm just a high schooler that wants to, you know, go to college maybe.
Right. Start the Archies. That's not going to happen.
The only way I can see that happening is, like, at the end of movies where you, like, see the guy starting at a new school and the new identity with the glasses and the backpack and he's just looking back at his old life like... I used to be a gangster. now I'm a college student.
Right.
Maybe they could like do it like that and just be like
revamp it. Right. College years. It's like, yeah. Oh, those days.
According to one of the executive producers, his name is John Goldwater. His father created Archie Comics.
Wow.
And he said his father, if he was alive, he would be shocked and thrilled if he saw the show the way it is today. He said he definitely would have never seen it going this way.
Is Archie going to go into, like, Wit Pro in Greendale or somewhere? He's gonna, like, season three, Archie's
going to... Dude, gonna... I'm so ready for Archie to just be abducted by aliens or something. Just, like, take him away. I really don't care what happens to him.
Yeah, he is. I don't know if he's the least likable, but he's the least relatable.
I mean, his testosterone levels are driving him crazy right now. I think once he got into that situation where he was confronted with the gun and he felt helpless, it triggered something in him that makes him a little bit illogical. Like even him with the arm wrestle, you're barely being nice to your own dad, and you're gonna freaking break Reggie's arm, even though I don't like him.
Reggie,
but I don't like Reggie.
Mantle,
he can go.
He's handsome.
He's very handsome.
He has a good bod. We will admit that. I can't admit that you're handsome because I don't like you, and that's a rule of mine.
Whoa. Okay. I'll take him if you don't want him.
Please. But Archie...
I'll change him, okay?
Oh, every woman thinks they can. But Archie, I feel he just needs a good, like, some good time with his father and to revisit it because he's, like, ready to break people's arms over his father and he's being mean to him himself.
Well, he's certainly not. He doesn't have a very good relationship to his dad right now. So his dad is going to be running for mayor here, and he's on the other side of things. He's really allied himself with the lodges here. He's really not an Andrews.
I mean, right, Hiram's his dad now.
It's like Archie versus Andrews is what I wrote down in my notes.
Oh,
that's a note that I have. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. So much so that he's not going to go to his announcement speech.
I know. Jughead's helping his dad with the announcement.
Yeah, but why? But just why is Archie doing this? I mean, I get he loves Veronica, but I don't think it really has anything to do with that whatsoever. He's somehow fascinated by what Hiram provides and the power or something. And I frankly just don't get it. It's like he's been drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, it seems to be like he covets that being in this a position of power that you could protect everybody you love. And after seeing his father almost killed by the Black Hood, I could understand why that could compel him to want to be involved.
Are we going to talk about the Black Hood?
Yeah, of course. We're going to get there.
One thing I want to ask, though, is I feel like this is the first time I ever saw Hiram this episode where his point was like, oh, I want to go straight. That's why I want to open the prison, is to go straight. And I never heard him say that this was his wanting to go from transition from the mob life to this.
It didn't seem like it was his goal. Well, I mean, because remember, just three episodes ago now, we were introduced to the idea that there's a godmother character, and it's not Hiram.
Yeah.
So we have Hermione's kind of laid back in the cut a little bit, but you know Hiram, he's been kind of operating as the leader again since that episode. Maybe Hiram is a little bit more the guy that wants to go straight. Maybe he's trying to repent for his time in prison. I don't know. He's done some pretty devious stuff. So
yeah. Tonight he was a little confused when they asked him, "What do you think we should do?" He's like, "I don't know." He said, "I don't know," for the first time. And I'm like, "You're the leader. You better know."
And he looked a little scared, a little intimidated at that table, at that dinner table. Did. You know?
And then everyone was like, "Oh, my God, I'm going to cry. He doesn't know what to do. I'm so upset." I don't understand. I do think this is a thing the writers messed up this season. Like, don't introduce us to Hermione as, like, the god...
The girl?
The god mother.
Oh, sure.
It makes it seem like, though, that she's good. That's not... I don't even know if that's the right word for it. But don't make us think she's the head honcho and then not talk about it for three or four episodes and then have an episode where she seems terrified when Hiram doesn't know what to do. It just doesn't match up to me.
Yeah.
But she also could be fronting for Veronica.
Sure.
True. I would feel like this, like that little nugget that he wants to go straight would be, if that is truly the case, it would have been more important to introduce early on in the season. Because I feel it's not to just drop it into this, but, oh, you know, I was trying to go straight. That's the whole reason I'm doing this. It seems like really late in the game to introduce that this was his motivation.
Well,
do you think he's lying?
I don't know if he's lying or not. I have no reason to say that he's not, but it just seems weird to, if you're making that the reason, why did we bury it for so long?
So the whole confrontation ends with Archie basically saying to Reggie, if you're the Bulldogs, stand with me, put on these masks, intimidate these dudes and blow their car up, we will stand with higher, you know, you guys, you have my vote for school council.
What the is Bulldogs. Wrong with him?
Wrestling team's vote.
Yeah, at least they were wearing shirts this time.
No, see, I feel like that was the wrong thing. They should have been the masks and shirtless.
Shirtless?
I think everyone would be like, wait, those are Reggie's nipples. Wait, we know who this is.
I also feel like Lenny and Carl have been like, you're that kid from the bar, I can tell. Yeah. You sound exactly like that kid from last night.
They laughed in his face.
I loved when they laughed in his face so much.
But the way that scene ended, Because I felt like Lenny and Carl were going to move up towards him. There was going to be a big fight before they heard the cop sounds. And then they just walk away. And then at the end, it's like, oh, they all left. They were totally intimidated by that. Like, I did not feel in that scene that they were intimidated by what went down.
They didn't. They actually, you mean Lenny and Carl?
Yeah, they moved up.
They moved up. They were not afraid. They were like, we could take you guys. But then the car blowing up didn't faze them as much as I thought it would either.
Yeah.
They're like, listen, we're seasoned. We've been through this before. We just need to know who all 12 of you guys are.
Where did they get explosives so easily?
Hiram.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they blew the car up. I think Hiram blew the car up. I think it was a group effort. But so the last bit of this episode that we should talk about is what's going on with Chick and the car and Darla and
What about the Black Hood?
What did I miss with the Black Hood? He sees the eyes? He sees the...
No, is it the same... My question was, well, why did they show the eyes again?
Because it was Archie seeing somebody in a black coat and that
you're triggered
him.
You're talking about with
the FBI agent.
Agent Adams.
Agent Adams. I thought that was maybe them telling us that was the guy that shot Fred.
No, it's just Archie having a flashback where he sees somebody being traumatized by a man in the hood. And he just thinks into like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's that moment.
Adam's a turncoat. Yeah, what do you got?
Place for me to say this, because you were talking a little bit about Paley Fest. I actually watched it too as well, and I heard that the showrunner talked about the Black Hood and said that they didn't know who they were going to make him. They knew that the janitor wasn't going to be the end game. So now they've been writing towards revealing the identity. And they said, like, you should start being able to see it. So
it's a real bummer when you find out that they don't know who their character is.
That makes me pretty disappointed.
But that was in the beginning, yeah. Because they were just like, they didn't know which direction they really wanted to go. And I see that it's gotten darker and darker, so...
Just makes me feel like that they're making all the clues and, like, it's... I don't know. I don't like that. That's
yeah. They should have kept that to himself.
I think so. You know, at least say we had an idea of three people.
Yeah, right. Even if you're just not telling the truth.
He probably said that. Yeah. Honestly, he probably said something.
Could be.
No, that's all right. Don't backpedal.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to because you know I have a bad memory and so I don't want to play games with everybody.
I feel you.
But just know that I love this show and I'm not trying to trick you guys.
Yeah, well, go check out the Paley Fest footage.
Yeah, check out the Paley Fest footage. It was great
on Hulu. I think you can find it.
Yeah, that stuff's always a lot of fun.
YouTube too.
So, all right, Darla comes to town, and it's Chick calls her. They're trying to smoke her out. That's her car, and they find the car that belonged to the dude who Betty, like, buried and just left in a tunnel.
Yeah, and just, like, rubbed her DNA all over him.
I don't understand. I mean, did nobody pass on to Chick, like, don't get involved with this at all?
Yeah, right.
Because for him to come in and I was like, I tried to help. Like, what?
He's the worst.
This storyline. Great impression.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This storyline of the ones in the show is the one that was, like, the most confusing. I just was like, why is this happening? Like, really? You have to call this person because it was their... Because it's going to come back to bite you, so you have to bring him in. And then she's shaking him down for money, so then, like... The serpents come in to back it up, and they're like, hey, by all means, just take the money and go. It's like, what do you mean take the money? Keep the money and get the hell out.
Yeah.
Why are you letting them keep the money?
Yeah, I mean, it's like negotiating with terrorists. You know, it's not going to work out. But I was very confused. You guys know I watch this a lot, and I rewatch episodes, but I'm like, who the hell is Darla?
Well, we hadn't seen her yet.
Right. We'd only heard
Darla
her on the phone.
Darla was the one on the phone who, like, remember when Betty was calling numbers, which we know she shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah.
And the lady answered the phone and is like, I don't know who he is, but he better give me back my car.
Hmm.
So that was Darla, but we didn't know she was going to bring in another person and try to blackmail them.
Box cutter, dude. That was just an intimidation move.
Yeah.
Just like, let me just
I love that.
Box cutter. click.
It was like, he threatened Chick with a box cutter weeks ago. His trusty go-to weapon, the box cutter, he still has on him.
Right.
Of course.
And we know it, but we have no defense.
Box cutters can be lethal. Speaking of box cutters, I just rewatched Gone Girl. There is a terrifying death in Gone Girl with a box cutter.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Have you guys ever watched Gone Girl?
Also Breaking Bad.
I mean, I've seen it, but just...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I block those kind of parts out of my...
It's one of the most horrifying scenes I've ever seen in a movie. I mean, effective, but just terrible.
Yeah.
All right, last thing before we get into the kind of wrap out of what's going on in the episode, because there's one more topic connected to what we were just talking about that I want to make sure we visit.
Wait, before we go, I want to say, I think Chick is somehow... contacted Darla on some other stuff. I think Chick...
You think there's more?
Yeah, there's more. Chick knows something about them. It was just too much, like, blank space.
Well, we're going to be doing predictions in about 5 minutes. When we get there, we can expand on that a little bit, because I definitely want to hear what you have to say there. But first, I want to remind everybody here, if you're listening, watching... check out iTunes, guys. We do free content here at AfterBuzz. It's what we do. We will always do free content. And the best way for us to continue to keep the lights on here and provide those free after shows for you is if you give us a rating and a review on iTunes. Preferably 5 stars, if you think we deserve it. Say something nice about it. Say, yeah, you know, I think Frank has a great attitude. You know?
That's a lie.
I think that's what you were going to say.
Amped?
No, it sounded like you, you know, I think Frank is a great ass.
Yeah, no, not what I was going to say.
I wish you would say that.
If you guys want to respond to this entire conversation and put it into a review, that'd be good too. It'd be funny. Yeah. It'd be context driven. So anyway, if you guys want to do that, helps us stay high in the standings. That's how people find the show. So thank you for listening. Let's talk about what's going on with Alice and FP, because that's the last part of this. They get rid of Darla. They get rid of the dude with the box cutter. And, you know, the serpents show up. Betty says she wants to get a serpent tattoo. So, you know, we're all moving back. And finally, Alice is like, I'm going to stop renouncing the serpents. I'm going to be a serpent. Knock, knock. I'm at FP's door. We finally are getting what we've always wanted.
Phallus.
Right? Is it going to happen?
Phallus.
Phallus.
I do like, though, that
does not sound right.
Anytime that Alice goes over to see FP, she always gets the hair kind of puffed out and blown out, ready to go.
And she puts a black lip liner on, which we all know is a no-no unless you're raunchy.
Yeah, right. FP took his gum out. She opens the door, and he's like, I'm taking my gum out. I'm going to be doing some kissing.
Yes. French kissing.
That actually, now thinking about that, kind of grosses me out a tiny bit. But I love them.
I'm just glad Betty and Jughead, Betty's no longer living there, so she wasn't there to witness or anything. Right?
Yeah.
Did you see how Alice put her foot down? She found out that Betty and Jughead were having sex, and she was like, look, okay?
Yeah.
You cannot shack up. You regardless of what kind of incestual life we live, okay? You may not shack up with your boyfriend.
Well, speaking of incest, so, you know, we've talked about it.
always one of the best segues you can use here at AfterBuzz.
Speaking of incest, I've been seeing in the chat and Twitter, you know, people are really upset because it is looking like Chick could be FP's son, and I would be right. Also, but everyone goes, oh, that's so gross. It would be incest. Like, Betty and Jughead would be related. No, no, no. Guys, that is not incest. I think incest was definitely Polly and Jason.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is not incest. Just remember Gossip Girl, and it happened with Dan and Serena, and they still ended up together at the end of the day. I don't think it's weird or gross.
What are their kids looking like?
Yeah. They're not related.
Oh, okay.
I feel like this is just an excuse for Sam to talk about Gossip Girl for a moment.
Yeah, probably.
No, but okay. No, people keep on saying that they think
it's this Gossip Girl.
No, it's the same exact storyline, you guys, and they are reusing it, and everyone knows it, and they talk about it in the chat. But it's not incest. I don't think it's gross if they share Chick as a brother.
Wouldn't that mean though that Jughead and Betty share?
They share the
same dad.
No.
How? No, that's not true. They share the same mom. No, they're the same mom. Okay, so never mind.
They just
no
share
problems.
A sibling.
They just share, the half brother.
Okay, so it's cool. Yeah. It's a small town anyway.
I mean, it's only half incest.
There's only like 19 characters that anybody pays attention to. It was bound to happen eventually, right?
There you go.
Taylor James in the chat. I don't like it, but I'm not disgusted.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You know what? We're with you. We're not disgusted.
All right, ship ranking, guys, real quick. Where does Shoni rank on the... right now we have 3 ships on the show because Kevin doesn't technically have a boy right now. Is that right?
Right. It's not Kip right now. It's just Chick and Kevin.
I guess if you include the parent ships...
Mm.
Yeah, I guess you have to throw in Alice and FP now.
Yeah.
So that there's really 4 that are significant, right?
Okay.
Right? Okay, so let's rank our ships. Where do we have? What do you guys think?
I mean, I guess because it's the newest
enthusiasm,
one
Frank. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. I love it. The show's for the ships for me. I guess Shoni, I guess because it's the newest one, I guess I'll put that at number 1.
We're going to call this section the Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Ships. Lighthouse.
Ah, beautiful.
But
I'll do.
Yes. That boy does not get paid for nothing.
No, actually, I'll do Bughead. Shoni, Varchi.
Okay, Bughead, Shoni, Varchi, and then Phallus.
We haven't seen enough of it to really get... I mean, right now we're just in anticipation.
It's speculation. Okay, we'll rank the 3. That's fair. What do you got?
I will say that at PaleyFest, Alice came in, the actor that plays Alice came in and sat right on FP's lap.
Oh.
So, well,
hello.
Spicy.
There you go. All right, going then on.
I guess I rank it number 2?
Okay. Switcheroo.
Yeah, Varchi is in last place, for sure.
It's a poor ship right now.
Yeah,
Very poor.
I don't want to support that.
Mm.
I'm going to put... I think Phallus is number 1 for... Bughead. No, I'm sorry. Bughead, Phallus, Shoni. I do like Shoni a lot, but, you know, then Varchi.
Got it. You have a ranking or no?
Me, I do have a ranking. Of course I have a ranking. I'm all about the ships, you guys. Lighthouse. So, first of all, of course, it's going to be Bughead. Well, not of course, because you guys, I want to just make my announcement now. Mm-hmm. I am officially jumping ship and just, like, getting onto the Bughead wagon. Sorry, don't play me like that, because Betty and Archie do not belong together. I am convinced. She cannot be with such an idiot. She's a smart girl, okay? She's cute. She's got it together. He can't handle her. So, yeah. So, I'm going to go with Bughead, Choni, Phallus, Varchi.
Fair.
No, Bughead, Choni, Varchi, Phallus.
These sound like diseases.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess, yeah, I'm going to go Bughead 1. I believe in that one. I like that relationship. I'm into that relationship. I'm intrigued by Choni, but I kind of think, because Cheryl's so crazy, the biggest payoff we're going to get, we just got. I don't think it's going to work as much as I want to see it work, because I like the build up and I definitely fist pumped with the kiss. That felt like the big payoff, but Cheryl's just so crazy. I don't know. Her character doesn't feel like a real character in the show most of the time. It usually just feels like a cartoon. So if they can, like, dial that back a little and give me something to pay attention to, maybe I'll, but I think Phallus would be 2, then Choni, and then Varchi, because it's terrible.
Yeah. You know, we didn't even talk at the end of the episode. Hiram and Hermione give Archie a car.
So inappropriate.
If somebody gave you a car, would your parents be cool with it? Like, especially if it's somebody that's going to be a heated rival of yours.
It's, and also the person that's running against your
your
dad for mayor.
Like, and also a mob guy who probably is tracking your car.
It's probably just illegal, I'm guessing. That feels like it has, it can't be legal. There's no way. Your dad's running for mayor, they're running, and he gives you a car, right? Oh,
yeah. There's heroin or cocaine packed inside of it. He's transporting it for some reason.
Or Archie, drive across the state lines. When you get across...
Yeah. So, all right, guys, we are going to get into our last segment of the show, and that's going to be predictions. We're going to let you know what we think is going to happen on Riverdale going forward.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I believe that is my prediction. I think that car has something to do with the political candidacy of Fred Andrews, and I think it's not going to work out for Fred. I think there's going to be, I think it's going to violate his campaign trail. And I think it's going to throw him off. I think that car is going to screw him. It's going to be like accepting a gift from, you know, it's going to count as a bribe or something.
If that happens, I just think Archie is the one that should go to the Sisterhood of Mercy or whatever. Can we just send him there?
He'd be so happy to, like, move bags of sand all day. Are
yeah,
you kidding?
That's true.
Yeah. He'd be like, this is what I love. Okay, so we know that the musical episode is coming up, and we have to wait a couple weeks. I think it said April 18th, I want to say. And they did a whole thing at PaleyFest about it. So that's the next episode, and I'm super excited. I think Cheryl is definitely going to wreak some havoc and maybe freak Choni out a little bit. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have made you escape from the insane asylum.
Nice.
Oh, go right ahead. You always have the good ones.
Well, no, I feel like so far Molly Ringwald has been kind of uneventful. So I feel like there's speculation that she's connected to the Blossom family, unless that all happened off camera and they're going to spring it on us in the season finale. I feel like so far.
Sure.
I mean, she had some really nice, conversations with Archie, kind of reading him the riot act in the last episode and this one. But so far, I was kind of disappointed with what she had to do so far.
I'm hoping she's full of secrets.
We keep thinking that, and it's never been proven true yet.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we also didn't really touch on, but we all know what happened. Nana Blossom on the phone. I mean, when she threw herself out of that chair and was determined to get to the phone, and she knew who to call. She knew Tony Topaz was the one. Mm. And I think that with him, with the father, the uncle, what's his name? Claudius.
Claudius,
standing over her like that and just her evilly glaring at him. I think he's going to try to kill her for sure. He's going to focus back on Nana since Cheryl's back and be like, she's in school. Okay, I'm going to kill her and then we'll get rid of her.
Yeah, and just to jump on the Claudius thing, because people have been tweeting about, I've kind of readjusted my prediction last week. So I think it was definitely Claudius that killed Jason, because I think it kind of left a bad taste in all of our mouths at the end of last season. Like, man, like a father killing his son. Like, that is really a little bit too messed up.
Brutal, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that it's going to end up having been him the whole time, and the whole way, all the wigs will play into it, and it'll make sense.
Nobody's really acknowledging the fact that, like, it's the same actor, and the evidence that he killed him is a video of the guy that looks exactly like this guy killing him, so how is he not a suspect?
Right.
Nice pull on that one. I actually had not acknowledged that until this very second.
See, and I think it's the opposite. I think it's the dad is there now. I think that is
the dad. Oh, you think that's the dad?
Yeah, that's the dad. He's just Claudius faking as his uncle.
Hung himself. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Interesting. Interesting stuff. All right, guys, you already heard my prediction, so that's going to wrap us up. If you want to follow along with any one of our careers, I'm going to just start here because I'm going right here. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram. I'm Wednesdays on the Popcorn Talk Network at 2 o'clock. Do an Action Movie Anatomy and go to Nerds and Suits. Check out at Nerds and Suits on Twitter. If you like movie news, movie reviews, I got everything coming up, but a brand new Ready Player One review for you coming out in the next 24 hours. Frank Moran, what do you got?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
And you can find me everywhere at Deshauna O, and right here on AfterBuzz TV for Star at 7 p.m. this very day.
Boom.
You guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram, SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. I did a really fun interview today. The link is in my bio on Instagram and Twitter with Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero, who were the people that made The Room. It's a really fun interview. I would love for you guys to check it out.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.